Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Welcome to New Books in Critical Theory, which is a podcast that's part of the New Books Network. On this episode, I'm talking to Sylvie Jacoby, who is Head of Education at the London School of Mosaic, about art schools and place, geographies of emerging artists and art scenes. So welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
No, and thanks for writing this incredibly interesting book that is a really fantastic kind of social scientific look at the contemporary art school and its role, its function, its practices, its I suppose its atmospheres, its relations to place, and its kind of unique status as an educational institution. And the place to start, I think, is the question of what you know brought you to write the book, and I guess what your sort of your interests were in thinking about studying the art school.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it has a very strong personal background why I wrote this book, because I actually went to art school myself. So I arrived in the UK in 2007 and did a few jobs. And shortly after that, I did apply to art school. And I think I wanted to apply to art school in London just to kind of get away from my upbringings in Germany. And throughout my sort of art school experience in the UK, I always had this kind of comparative angle with what I thought art school and the art academy should be like from this German perspective. So I found myself in this very unstructured environment in which you had a lot of freedom to do whatever you wanted in your artist studio in the art school. And in some ways, freedom was good to get experience in the art world that you were exposed to being in London. But at the same time, it also caused a lot of confusion as to why this curriculum was so unstructured and what was I meant to do as a student. So, and I think some of this confusion led to me having so many questions around what art school education is, and in comparison again to the German model of art school education. And so right after my fine art undergrad, I went into studying a social science course at King's College London in creative cities to really investigate a little bit more a kind of geographical angle on the arts, because I was very interested in what I was doing as an artist in London. And that kind of intensified my interest in actually connecting the story around the art school and place, and finding out just more about why does it matter where you are being educated as an artist, and what is this relationship that evolves between an artist and place while you are studying at an art school. Because being in an art school means you're also in one place, most likely for the period of time in which you're studying. So these questions, yeah, came from a very sort of personal inquiry and really connected the subjects that I was studying, which was fine art and geography. And there weren't a lot of other books or research generally around connecting these two areas and two disciplines.
Yeah, and that's exactly where the book is sort of situated, actually, in that intersection between contemporary geography, creative industries, or cultural policy, whatever you'd sort of call it, and then these questions of education as well. And I guess the education questions is really, really crucial, actually. And it's probably worth, if you could talk me through the idea of like what an art school actually is and what an art education is. And in some ways, you sort of flagged up that, kind of weird sense of freedom and in some ways like lack of structure that characterized your experience. And it'd be good to know a bit more about that in terms of that kind of sense of what's an art school like as an institution and what's an art education.
So the art school can mean multiple things. So in one way, yes, it's a place where you can have an art school education or an arts education. Often most art schools here in Britain teach art and design subjects in the same institution. In Germany, the art school would be most likely referred to as art academy. And in some ways, this is still restricted to the more fine art subjects. So this is where sort of the art school emerged from its sort of fine art roots, but it's been sort of more expanded into any other subject areas, such as even to include design, architecture, and other disciplines. The art school also is a place itself where art students go to have their art education. And in that sense, it's also an important social environment for them, where they have their studios, they can meet in a coffee shop that is in the art school, and lots of conversations develop while they're in this place. But also the art school is a workplace for artists who teach in the art school. And so, yeah, it's got multiple understandings of what an art school as a place or institution is. And then following on from this in terms of what is an art school or an art education, in the literature, often arts education is sort of explained as an arts education in secondary schools. So there's very little research on arts education from a higher education perspective. And in the book, very much the arts education that I'm talking about is fine art education. So I'm looking at the subject of fine art as sort of the origin of what an art school is associated with. And in terms of fine art education, what it really is, I mean, there's different subject areas in some art schools which are still separated. These could be painting, sculpture, and media art. But in many art schools now, it's actually sort of combined as fine art, and people choose a different pathway that they want to focus on. And fine art education generally is more of an idea of what an education might be. You don't really have a very strict curriculum around, skill-based artistic training, although that was important before the 1960s, but since the 1960s, with the conceptual turn in art, that was also then appropriated by the way the curriculum was structured. However, there's many differences between how different art schools and different fine art courses interpret what an art school curriculum is. And there's various books and various conferences that art school internal or fine art internal deal with these kind of questions. But what I said in terms of the studio environment, that is very important for fine art education, because most courses, you still have a permanent kind of studio that is allocated for each student. And then they would be able to develop their practice in their own space with tutorials and group tutorials, which are called Krits. Or in German, there's a different term for that, like a kind of class meeting. And again, there's different hierarchies and structures within which fine art is taught. So like in the German art school, you still have in some art schools the sort of master figure. And then you have a kind of the professor has a particular group of students that they teach throughout the duration of their diploma or their bachelor's course. Do tell me if you want me to explain some of these aspects in more detail, though.
So I think that's a brilliant overview of the kind of multifaceted nature of arts education and specifically the art school. And that's maybe like one line that goes through the book. And the other line is, as you'd noted, is geography. And again, you know, this is something you'd gestured towards already. What is your sort of like geographic or place-based approach to understanding the art school? The book is called, or has got art scenes in the title. And obviously people are maybe sort of like familiar with the idea of places having particular scenes, particular, you know, kind of moments. But it'd be good to hear a bit more about how you've taken that kind of geographic or geography approach.
Yeah, so I looked at it in one way from a very, from on the one side, existing geographical texts on place, like Doreen Massey's place and how place is also connected between the local and the global. Because what really emerged from the interviews that I've undertaken was the sense that if you study somewhere local, you're not just connected to the local infrastructure. Students have developed links with external institutions or external students from other places. And this understanding of place, even though you were so connected with your institution for these years of study, this sense of place was really expanded. And so some of the book looks at this kind of global sense of place and what this means in terms of how that coins the work that you produce or how much you are attached to a place and how you could be attached to a place while at the same time also being internationally connected. And while these are sort of the more geographical forms of analysis, I also applied the concept of communities of practice. And this is not itself a geographical concept. However, it really works quite well in terms of explaining the art school as a practice-based learning environment, and which forms in itself these communities that are these multiple communities that are inside the art school and how they're also connected with the external in a city, with the external art scene. And then the community of practice has a sort of new concept that was developed around the landscapes of practice. And again, this is not a geographical concept, but what the landscape suggests is that these communities of practice form a kind of imagined geography. So I was imagining also the art scenes as imagined geographies that are tied, each of these communities together by practice, and where there are boundaries between the communities that people can cross, and how there's kind of different geographical imaginations around that. Maybe I can give an example of some students in the Leipzig Academy. They do study a course called Media Arts. And some of the lecturers on that course actually live in Berlin. And some of the students also, while they're studying at Leipzig, moving to Berlin because they feel much more connected with the sort of Berlin art market, which is much more around, you know, performance-based practices, media art practices, compared to the Leipzig context, which is more based around representational painting. So although these students know each other from their Leipzig context, they meet in Berlin, but they still kind of have a Leipzig scene. So I think that's probably explains these sort of imaginary geographies that are part of these landscapes of practice.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the perfect way to expand on and kind of illustrate these broad theoretical frameworks that you've adapted and brought into dialogue with geography and with questions of art education is through these case studies. And you'd mentioned Leipzig. So actually, maybe if you could say a bit about why you chose Leipzig as a case study, and then why you chose the comparison with Manchester.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm from a town called Zwickau that is about an hour and a half by a train south of Leipzig. So I grew up there and did go to Leipzig art school before I came to London just to explore what they might be able to offer me as an art student. And it was a very sort of formal setting in which your portfolio that you had to apply with was completely scrutinized. And they're very critical there and very proud of their education offer. And but I decided to move to London to get away from where I grew up and still was very interested always in what's happening with the Leipzig art scene. So I think that drew me back to going to Leipzig and do some research on for my master's thesis, actually, on the impact that artists have on the urban environment, because there's a lot of artist-led activities, a lot of what they call off spaces, which is like artist-led spaces. And that really has changed the kind of feel of the urban environment in particular districts in Leipzig. So that was where I did my master's research. And really, it emerged from that the art school had such an important role in embedding artists in the city, and also in shaping the art market, which is known for in Leipzig, for the Leipzig School painters and also the New Leipzig School painters. So these are painters who paint in a particular style, which is more representational, traditional, or perhaps surrealist. And it kind of had always this mythical connotation, Leipzig and the painters, and that really interested me, and to find out how that emerged. And then at the same time, I wanted to find a case study in the UK, as I wanted to do the research comparatively, of a city with a similar kind of geographical configuration. And also the research had to be practical for me, because I was living in between London and Berlin at the time, doing my PhD jointly between King's College London and Humboldt University. So I had to choose quite wisely which places I can navigate for this research. And so I went to Manchester, because I did attend a conference there, and I met a few artists who kind of made me feel like that Manchester is very similar in terms of the kind of infrastructure that artists use in these cotton mills. And Leipzig has a lot of them, a lot of the empty sort of industrial infrastructure. And then I approached the art school in Manchester, the Manchester School of Art, which is part of the Manchester Metropolitan University. And I was really welcomed with open arms. I think that really made a difference for me. And this is why I wanted to work with the fine art department there at Manchester School of Art, because I experienced some kind of problems with the Leipzig Academy in sort of stepping into the art school, which was in the Leipzig Academy a lot more sort of fragmented. They didn't really like having an outsider, a researcher, to come and investigate what they were doing. Whereas at the Manchester School of Art, I was extremely welcomed, and they were making everything possible for me to conduct this research and arranging interviews for me, whereas compared to Leipzig, that was a whole different story, although I've already had contacts there.
I mean, to an extent, I think you can kind of detect that experience, as well as, you know, the kind of broader analysis through the book. And some of that, I think, is grounded maybe in the differences between how the institutions relate to their places and how that relationship runs, you know, from the studio to the city. And one of the terms you use for Manchester is this idea about the city being an expanded studio. So it'd be good to hear the kind of the story of Manchester, both in terms of place, but also maybe actually in terms of the experience of students there as well.
Yeah, so the same way that I was so welcomed into the Manchester School of Art, they also really welcome their students and give them a really great experience of arriving. And in the way that they do this, or at the time when I was doing my interviews, they used to do, to welcome students, they used to do tours around the city, but from an artistic perspective. So they used to call this psychogeography or derif, familiarize the students with a situationalist experience. So as part of the students' fresher week or induction the week after, they arranged for students to meet in specific groups, and they gave them different briefs. Some of which was, for example, you take a map of a different city and you walk this map in Manchester and you end up in very different locations that you would never, ever explore unless there was a particular destination. So another procedures was around asking students to go out and pick up objects from the street and make sculptures with them. And so these kind of experiences really brought these groups of students together. So it was a social experience, but at the same time, it really sort of disconnected the students from what they were thinking what art is, because I believe a lot of the students have had quite sort of traditional understanding of art, and these kind of explorations really challenged these understandings. And it also put the student in a kind of potential environment in which they feel discomfort or they feel challenged to be in an environment that is unexpected. And I think this was sort of a wake-up call for a lot of students to find out more about themselves, but at the same time finding out a lot more about Manchester as a city that is potentially new to most students, as they've recently just moved to Manchester. So these kind of situationist experiences really fulfilled three things: the social, the connection with place, and the introduction to what an art school education might be.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals, so you can go back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. And this is the part I really like. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning. You simply heat and savor the good stuff. Factor is the solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Head to factormeals.com/NBN50 and use code NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NBN50 at factormeals.com/NBN50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
How did that compare with Leipzig? Both actually in terms of the different curriculum, but also actually I got a real sense of a and actually you've mentioned it already, but you know, a real sense of a split in the students between particular art forms as well. So it's not just the idea of like Leipzig compared to Manchester, but I think we've got comparisons between Leipzig and Manchester, and then comparisons between different artistic practices too.
Yeah. So again, Manchester has a fine art course that isn't really so structured in pathways. Everyone does fine art, and then later on you decide what practice you want to focus in. In Leipzig is very different. When the students arrive, they are studying artistic techniques for 2 years, which is part of their sort of basic introductory course called Grundkurs. And so they are being familiarized with drawing, with filmmaking, and with all the sort of workshops that they can go through. And after 2 years, they then only start their studio practice. So there's very little or less experimentation in the first 2 years. And at the same time, however, students branch out and develop their own artist-led activities outside in the city, because it's so cheap, or used to be so cheap, to just get any space for free to display some of their work. But yeah, the education experience in Leipzig is much more formal, and they didn't until this one professor joined the school do any of this kind of situationalist experiences. However, they did start with a collaboration between the art school, the art academy, and the Leipzig University Geography Department. So they did similar things as in Manchester, but for a particular group of students that was interested in this. So it's not a mandatory or introductory thing for everyone. It's only for those students who are interested in it. And so art students and geography students collaborated, and they developed artworks in response to either meeting institutions in the city, going for walks around the city, documenting the urban environment, whether that's through photography or film, just to give some examples of what they were doing. And what really develops in the third year at the Leipzig Academy is these different kind of communities of practice, if you want to refer them like to this concept, around the different practices that you work in, whether it is painting, whether it is media art. And each of these art forms has got a professor that, again, has a very particular way of teaching. And the students are allocated to these professors according to their sort of personal practice interests. So it becomes a lot more fragmented in a way. And that's also the experience that you have between potentially the art school and the outside art scene. So people like to be a little bit more exclusive in order to potentially protect their knowledge or protect their practice.
This is absolutely not what the book is about. And it's a slightly cheeky question, but obviously the book, you know, is comparative in nature. And, you know, towards the end of the book, you know, in the conclusion, you, you know, really kind of bring out the comparative element. But I'm just wondering, and, you know, as I say, this is quite a cheeky question. Do you have a sense of like one approach being kind of better or worse? Or are we just talking about, you know, two just very different approaches to the possibility, this very open possibility of what an art school and an art education is?
I mean, I can give you some example here that, for example, the Manchester School of Art staff really highly regarded Leipzig Academy because they were teaching a very particular practice, which then made the city and the art school known for something very particular, so that they could attract students from all over the world who are interested in studying this particular way of painting. And I'm just saying this on behalf of sort of the Manchester School of Art painters, and they really look in awe at Leipzig Academy. However, that's not the only way of being successful. I think what the great benefit of something like the Manchester School of Art model of fine art education is that you prepare a lot of students to see the world as, you know, this global environment that you can navigate, and that you should look beyond your city as well and explore opportunities to have galleries in London while at the same time have a studio in Manchester. That's possible. And so I think they didn't restrict themselves on this particular way of teaching and developing a practice, but just developing the curiosity of students to look beyond of what they already know. And I think, I wouldn't say there is one model that works better. It's, I guess it depends on also the personalities that are available to teach in these art schools and how long they are staying at the art school. That has a potential to then, over long term, really define your institution. But also if you have institutions where staff change more regularly, there's a lot more opportunity for innovation. Whereas somewhere in Leipzig has been sort of coined for this particular practice that people might consider outdated. And then you live with this after image of this particular, you know, Leipzig school or new Leipzig school. And it's also hard to sort of shake this reputation off.
I mean, there's loads more questions we could get into. You know, the book covers the kind of cultural policy and educational policy context of England and Germany. There's a lot of stuff about, you know, the kind of particular experiences of students as much as there are about institutions. But I'd like to conclude with maybe a more general question that speaks to the book's analysis. But also, you know, kind of thinks forward, which I guess is about the future of this place-based relationship, not just, you know, because of COVID and things like access to studios and stuff like that, but just in terms of how you see that kind of importance of place in the very different ways between Manchester and Leipzig continuing, or do you think it might be reconfigured?
So I think there needs to be a renewed focus, or even just the first focus on art school leaders on understanding what's the importance of place. And I think that was one of the aims of the book, is for them to understand how they can communicate with people beyond themselves in order to really explain the value of art schools and in particular fine art education, because I see there to be a danger that our subject area might be sort of phased out and numbers of students will be lower and there'll be less funding for it. And at the same time, for geographers or social scientists to be able to conduct more research in this area, so that, again, the value of fine art education in art schools can be sufficiently evidenced. I think that's really important. And the book should also be, you know, an inspiration for art students to think beyond their discipline and have an interest in how they can see the world through, you know, social science methods in a way. I hope that answers your question, but do prompt me if I can give you more detail.
I think maybe I'd ask the broader question, which is about your own practice, which I think, you know, is related to the analysis in the book and the work you're doing at the London School of Mosaic.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, while I was doing my PhD, I did help set up the London School of Mosaic out of an interest that I've been volunteering doing mosaic as a public art practice for many years. And our practice is very much perceived as a kind of hobbyist activity that older ladies do as short courses. However, that's really reactionary to view it like that, because there's a lot of young people with enormous technical skills doing mosaics for churches and other sort of building sites. And I was quite interested in, you know, facilitating how our subject could be taught at higher education level. So we set up the London School of Mosaic in 2017 and really trying to implement some of the things that I've researched and setting up a small little independent art school that can teach a very particular discipline that is quite technical. So that's quite different to fine art. But we're really creating like an environment around the art school with a canteen, with artist studios. And during COVID, what this has shown, having a very small art school, is that we've just had much more oversight over our students and making sure they can continue to study with us, and we're being flexible and able to still accommodate the students physically here at the school, where they can still use our materials, our studios. And in comparison to these bigger arts institutions, particularly in the UK, where people pay high fees, you just don't have that luxury of time and flexibility. In the German institution, I haven't so much followed on what they're doing in response to COVID, but again, they have much more flexibility with the time and extending the students' term, because there's less of a burden attached to the student to be paying fees. So yeah, we've been very responsive to what the students need. And I think that's quite important with an art school education, that you don't just frame it into a 3-year time frame, and that you need a little bit more of flexibility with the time for students to develop their practice, because you can't sort of put a price tag and time sort of deadline onto developing an artistic practice. Because if you do, I think there's sort of, from the perspective of the UK context, there's the danger that artists are sort of released into the professional world without without being ready yet.
I mean, it's incredible to see that relationship, I think, between an institution and the academic analysis in the book.
Yeah, I think in terms of, from again, the art school perspective, there's very little internal analysis from a sort of academic or more social science background. And I think that's what this book does, is to really survey for the first time, really, I think, what this fine art education is and how it can be evidenced. And I think a lot of the art schools still struggle to have this kind of internal critical lens on themselves. They would do research around, I don't know, critical theory, philosophy, but they're not really looking at themselves from a critical sort of point of view as much as they potentially could.